Do you remember when you were kids and you were told to eat 6 to 12 servings of bread and pasta? Today we are told carbs are bad for us. Let's talk about why healthy eating in the U.S. is so confusing and what changed.
Welcome to Current Thoughts. I'm your host, Jay, alongside my beautiful wife and co-host, Dee. And this podcast is where we have in-depth conversations about topics that matter to us, and hopefully to you too. This is the first episode in a 7-part series about eating healthy in the U.S. We'll break down the most common healthy diets in separate episodes, then finish with what we chose, where to start, and how to progress.
We're not choosing a diet today. We're explaining why eating healthy feels so hard, especially here in the U.S. Okay, Jay, so why eat healthy?
Well, I've always been active and athletic, but as I got into my mid-30s, I started to put on weight and become more sedentary. It became more work and effort to stay active and healthy. And as I've aged into my 50s, I have focused more on health and diet for longevity. What about you?
Well, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease several years ago. My symptoms were making me feel horrible, so I decided to try an elimination diet and went on a food journey of better eating and reading labels.
Okay, so first let's start with the elephant in the room, the constant mixed messages. So we both grew up in the age where they had the food pyramid. And as you mentioned earlier, the biggest group of that food pyramid was the bread, the cereal, the grains. And now everybody's demonizing carbs.
It's hard to keep up.
It's very hard to keep up. I mean, that's one of those things where when you heard that, it was like, well, why all of a sudden when we grew up, it was eating lots of carbs for energy, and now all of a sudden they're demonized. And that's happened multiple times.
Throughout our lifetime, it's happened. It's like every 5-10 years, some new diet or new study comes out, or they find something different in the diet that's bad, and you were eating it forever, and now it's good, or vice versa. It's very confusing.
Yeah, can you think of some other examples besides just the bread and cereal? I know, like for eggs, they were talking about like they were bad because of cholesterol.
Right.
And now they're like a superfood.
Right.
And
same with fat. Fat was bad. Now, if you have healthy fats, they're encouraging you to eat healthy fats, which it's kind of confusing there again. And then people get stuck in their ways. Like I was in the grocery store the other day and this lady was talking to another guy, and she was telling him that she was buying some kind of meat. And she was complaining, I think, about the price because she was going to be taking half of the fat off of it. And it was some kind of beef that she was buying. And I'm like, why would you do that? She's like, and it's just like the bacon. I take all the fat off the bacon. And I'm like, why would you do that? That's all healthy fat. But people get it in their heads that it's all bad. And then it's hard for them to change their habits.
Yeah, I can remember when fat was being villainized, and it just kind of brings me back to when we were kids. I mean, like, do you remember what you had when you went to like your school lunches? Or we were eating those square pizzas or rectangle pizzas,
the burgers.
I don't remember at school eating a lot of protein. It was a lot of carbs.
Spot pasta,
peanut butter jelly sandwiches, something. If you took your own lunch,
right?
And man, that has changed quite a bit. And let's see what else. Let's see. Coffee. I think coffee was, you know, one year they were saying it was bad, the caffeine, too much caffeine. And now it's considered it has all these antioxidants and it's supposedly great for longevity.
Right. In moderation and without adding anything to it.
Correct. I think that's the biggest thing is all the additives that people add to their coffee.
Right. If you can separate that, then yeah, it's healthy. But if you're adding creams and sugars and all of that, then you just turn something healthy into unhealthy.
Well, just like butter too. Like butter was demonized when we were growing up, when we were kids, and everybody was like, oh, it's like, I remember the whole thing with parquet and margarine. Yeah,
margarine's better than butter.
Right. They had all those commercials about the conflicting, like, oh, parquet, margarine, butter.
Right. And now butter is the best.
Right.
But there again, people that started buying margarine now have a hard time going to butter, or they don't believe what they hear because it changes so often.
And then obviously we heard bad things about red meat. I remember that was one of the culprits that you were trying to eliminate in your diet when you did your elimination diet was red meat because it got a bad rap.
Right. Well, right.
But something else I remember is, like, I remember sugar was getting a bad rap. And so everybody started going to these artificial sweeteners. My mom was probably the worst with it because she did the Sweet and Low, and then she went to the Splenda. And, you know, they all sounded like they were great when they first came out. And then all of a sudden, you know, after they've been out a few years and people were able to do studies on them and what they did to your health, all of a sudden you started to find out that they were actually bad for your health.
Right.
And it's very confusing. And when they keep changing their positions on a lot of these foods and additives, it makes it really hard to say, okay, I'm eating healthy now because I'm doing what you guys told me to do. And then all of a sudden they change their mind on it.
Right.
So mixed messages are one reason. The other reason is bigger. The food itself isn't the same as it used to be.
Yeah. So I'm constantly having this conversation with my mom where we go back and forth and I'm telling her how we're eating better or we're eating more healthy or we've included this now and not that. And she just goes on and says, well, I've been eating that for years. And I try to tell her, Mom, that is not the same thing as when you were growing up. This mac and cheese is not the same. I don't even think the bread is the same. Nothing you're eating that's processed is the same as when you were growing up. And it's hard for people to get that out of their head that it's not the same because most people aren't looking at labels.
Well, especially when the packaging hasn't changed in 20 years,
right.
It looks the same. So they think it's the same. But if they actually just stop and look at the ingredients, they'll see that they've started adding more additives and stabilizers.
Yeah, they might see, but then they might not because like my mom's not one that, and most people aren't one that read the labels 20 years ago. So they wouldn't even have a clue if it was different from last, you know, 20 years ago, the 80s or 90s, opposed to now. They wouldn't have a clue if it was any different.
Yeah, I think what gets to me the most is, you know, something as simple as bread. You know, again, it used to just be flour, water, yeast, and salt. And now they started adding all these conditioners, stabilizers, ingredients that you're like, what is that in there for?
Right.
And that's only something that I see here in the U.S. When we go to Europe, I don't see that over there. And that's why the bread is so much better for us over there.
Right. Right. Same with cheese slices. They have oils and stabilizers are added. And it's not just a simple cheese. I mean, that's just, it's kind of crazy.
All you Velveeta cheese eaters out there.
Yeah.
It's not real cheese.
I'll tell you, I like my Velveeta, but I have gone over... Not a big cheese eater, so I do like American cheese, which it's probably not the greatest either, but I don't eat a lot of cheese, so I don't worry too much about cheese. Now, you, on the other hand, love cheese, so you don't go towards the American cheese or, obviously, the Velveeta cheese, because that's not even really cheese, but...
Nope, give me the real thing.
Right.
But a lot of these foods that, again, are simple and they're adding all these ingredients, it's just... Either they're like, I mean, for example, like sodas, for example, I grew up drinking sodas. I know that's a bad thing. But again, when I was a kid, that was the thing that we were into. But even then, they've changed from cane sugar to high fructose corn syrup because it's cheaper. They can use less of it and it produces a longer shelf life.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like salmon. If you go to buy salmon and it's not wild. Then they're adding dyes and they're adding all kinds of different things to it.
Or they're adding the feed that has the dyes in it.
Right.
Yes, that the fish eat, like the last little bit to change it.
Right. To make it look better.
It's very confusing if you're trying to, even when you're trying to eat healthy, because a lot of times, again, besides the mixed messages, the foods themselves, it seems like they're constantly changing. And I don't know. I mean, even like nowadays, like you can read a label and it says like natural flavoring on it.
Right.
And that's a big red flag when you see something like that.
But most people think, oh, it's natural. So, oh, I'm going to get this because it's natural, which, yeah, it's definitely not.
Yeah. Another ingredient that you think of as healthy that a lot of people buy from the grocery store. And if they just looked at the label, they would find out that it's actually not that healthy for them, is yogurt. yogurt, for example, if you're buying yogurt from the store, especially if it's a flavored yogurt, if you turn it over, you're going to see that they have all these sugars in them. Some of them even have sometimes more sugar than a soda does.
Right. Same with a protein bar.
Yeah.
So, you think that you're, you know, getting something healthy because it says it's a protein bar, but the first ingredient, if the first ingredient is sugar, yeah, that's a red flag.
And then another thing is those frozen healthy meals, ready-to-eat meals that you just throw in the microwave and heat up. And
right.
Yeah, it saves time, but it often adds like sodium, modified starches, flavor boosters. Just not good for you. And a lot of times people just go for the easy way.
Right. We live in a fast-paced world and people are going for convenience. And it's very misleading when you're trying, you know, to feed a family and you need something convenient and you're buying frozen foods.
Oh, and then the other thing that really stands out to me that I just now, you just sparked something, is the seed oils. Obviously, we learned that seed oils are actually bad for you and they can cause inflammation. And so then like some of the healthy oils, like olive oil or avocado oil, that are actually good for you, come to find out there's actually a big old scam going on here in the U.S. where they'll tell you that it's olive oil or they'll tell you that it's avocado oil. But unless it's like single origin or if unless you know the brand, they're actually cutting that with some of these other seed oils. So you think you're getting something healthy. Next thing you know, you could be getting a mixture of canola oil or rancid oil that's all mixed together, thinking that, oh, I'm just putting olive oil. I cook with olive oil all the time, so it's healthy. But then in reality, you're not actually getting what's on the label.
Right.
That's another big issue that I've run across. So what's the shortest ingredient list that you've found that you still buy today or that we still buy today?
The shortest ingredient list?
That you can think of.
Milk.
Or fruit.
Fruit.
Yeah, obviously right. One ingredient. And, although we eat a lot of vegetables too, like celery and carrots. We cut those up and.
Right. Just even going and, you know, we're trying to eat as healthy as possible and cutting out a lot of foods in our diet, but even spices. You read the ingredients on some of these spices. If you're not just getting cinnamon or you're not getting a one ingredient spice, if you're getting, you know, something for a burger or something for steak or something for chicken or poultry, yeah, there's sugars and all kinds of extra ingredients in them and just doesn't make sense.
Are you referencing the burger mix that you were trying to buy the other day in the store and you just said, I'm just going to make it myself?
Yeah, it's just insane stuff like that. When you're looking at the label, you're just thinking it's a bunch of spices put together, and then you learn that it's not. So which product surprised you when you finally read the label?
So that one is a pretty easy one. It was when I was getting ready, when I came off my 21-day fast, I was really excited. I was going to be going to Costco. I was going to be getting some of those rotisserie chickens. And then I found out that they actually use carrageenan. They actually pump it in the meat itself to plump it up, to make it heavier, to make it juicier. And carrageenan is actually one of the bad things on my list that I'm trying to stay away from. Something as simple as that. You just think that it's a chicken. You added some spices to it or something maybe, but you wouldn't think that they'd be adding stuff like that. But again, there's another example where they're adding something that they don't necessarily need to it just to make it way more, make it juicier, and it's not really needed.
Right. Keep it simple.
And if the ingredients weren't tricky enough, the labels can throw us off even more. So how many times have you seen products in the grocery store that have like buzzwords like all natural, made with whole grains, light, immune support?
More times than not. There's always one of those on an ingredient.
I've even seen some of them now that say organic. And we just learned that even though it says organic, doesn't mean it's 100% organic.
Right. It has to be, I'm not sure what the ratio is, but 60, 75%. And it's good. Put it on a shelf and call it organic. And then, oh my gosh, don't even get me started on the chicken. Because, you know, we've watched documentary after documentary on chicken. And you know, we might have 20 different chicken companies labels on the chickens that you're buying or the chicken breasts or the chicken legs that you're buying. But yet there's really only like two companies in the U.S. and they're all coming from the same source.
What about the eggs? the egg's cage-free.
Right.
Pasture-raised, organic.
Right.
It's like they're putting all these buzzwords on these things in hopes that you'll get them, and they can charge a premium price for them. But in all reality, I think I saw a video with a farmer on there, and they were saying it doesn't matter if it says organic, if it says cage-free, if it says pasture-raised, if it says any of that stuff. It's basically y'all buying the same eggs. Doesn't matter in this country.
Right.
Which is kind of sad if you think about it. That's why I kind of miss having our chickens. That was such a, you could at least control
what was in your food. Right. It's even something as simple as an egg.
Right.
I mean, that's simple, but yet it's not. Yeah. And then they hide sugars with different names. So people don't even know what they are. It's not even readable or understandable. And they don't understand the word, or they don't see what it is. So they just like, oh, okay, well, this is fine.
Well, on top of that, a lot of times if you look at a label, sometimes a label will say like zero added sugars.
Right.
In all reality, it was actually like 0.5 grams of sugar. So instead of rounding up to say it was 1 gram of sugar, they actually round down and to go to zero.
And then go to zero.
And apparently the FDA allows that.
Right.
And then of course, you have the serving size. A lot of people look at the ingredients, they look at the calories, and instead of just saying, oh, well, this one only has this many calories, they don't look at the actual serving size that makes that up.
Right. You're getting a teaspoon.
Right.
So if you're eating a tablespoon, you've gotten too much.
Or a cup. You're eating right. A cup of it. You're thinking, I only got this many calories, and nope, that's not the case.
Right. Exactly.
And I've actually been guilty of doing that myself. So
right.
I know how easy it is.
Yeah, it's so easy. The healthy snacks that you think are healthy are not. The protein bars, the granola, the fruit drinks, they're not healthy. I've been trying to look for an healthy option for something to drink, because all I drink is water. I drink orange juice, but other than that, there's not many options out there.
Yeah, and unless you make your own juice, like you squeeze your own fruit, which I know you were doing for a time with your orange juice.
Yeah.
You really can't guarantee the quality of it. And even then, it doesn't last that long either. So you have to drink it relatively quick.
Right.
So I think that's the thing is I get it. You know, you're a business, you're trying to sell commercially to consumers. And so you have to put some kind of stabilizer in there so it's shelf stable, so it lasts a little bit longer. Because you don't want somebody buying it and they only have one day to drink it or something. So it makes sense, but it's still not at the benefit of us.
Right. No, it definitely isn't. It's just like when I've been making my own chocolate, and I made you some dark chocolate, and I asked you how it was. It was the first time I'd made it. So I asked you how it was, and you said it was good, but it was melting in your hand. And I said, yeah, well, there's nothing in it that is going to preserve that chocolate from melting. So you take the good with the bad and just be cautious of that.
If anybody's interested in that, let us know, because we can provide that recipe, because it was really simple and it was
amazing.
All natural ingredients, and it definitely tastes better than any dark chocolate that I've had from store-bought.
Yeah, it was super simple. Literally took probably less than 15 minutes. What about artificial sweeteners?
Well, I've kind of, ever since I think the only artificial sweetener that I ever tried growing up was Splenda. And now, I mean, now the big craze is the erythritol and the monk fruit and stevia. I think those are the mm-hmm. three that are considered healthy. But again, they're a plant-based sweetener. I just don't know. Maybe enough studies hasn't been done on them. Who knows? Maybe in, you know, the next few years, they may come out and say those are bad for you.
So. Right. Yeah, I've never been one for alternative sugars. It's just not, especially like in diet soda or anything like that that's change the sweetener, I've just never been a fan of.
Yet again, there's another thing that we noticed last time we went to Europe was you can actually make good desserts, good sweets, without over-sweetening your food. They do it right over there. Over here, it really opened our eyes to how much we over-sweeten our foods over here.
Absolutely. We went over there for 6 weeks or however long it was, and came back here. And the first time, you know, after being over there for a while, coming back, and I was like, oh my gosh, some of this stuff is so sweet. And it really got hard, you know, a while to think, okay, this is how it's supposed to be, or this is how it's going to be if I'm going to eat this. And some things I just decided, no, it's too much. I can't do the sugar.
Yeah. And in all reality, I think when we had the sweets over there, I think by oversweetening the food here in the U.S., it actually takes away from the overall flavor.
It does.
And that was one big eye-opener. And so it was like one of those things where it actually made it easier for us to stop eating so many sweets, because everything here is just overly sweet and all you taste is the sugar.
Right. And I'm big on sweets.
Me too.
I definitely have a sweet tooth. So that was definitely something hard. But when it's overly sweet, like I love donuts. Absolutely love donuts. But man, they don't love me. Not anymore. Not after changing your diet. Your body tells you no.
As she's sitting here in her pink box t-shirt.
Yeah.
So even if you crack the labels and ingredients, life still gets in the way because our culture pushes convenience. Convenience, convenience, convenience. In this country, some people can call it convenience. Some people call it laziness.
Yeah, it's just, it's an easy thing to do. You drive through, you get your food, the whole family gets to eat in a matter of 15 minutes.
Or both parents work, you have kids, you got to do something to make for dinner. And it's just easier to buy something as opposed to going home and actually taking the time to cook.
Right. After working 8 hours, nobody wants to go home to take, you know, taking care of the kids and then cooking and everything that comes along with it. It's a lot.
And I'm guilty of this, too, because I used to, you know, fly out of town. And when I would come back on my drive home, I had an hour drive home. If I missed dinner, I'm like, okay, I got to stop and get something to eat. Well, rather than even just pulling in someplace healthy that I have to sit down at, I would opt for something like chicken fingers and stopping at a fast food place to pick chicken fingers because I could eat that on the way home as I'm driving home.
Right.
Which I knew it wasn't good for me, but again, it was convenient.
Right. And as you learn about your food and you're trying to be healthy, I mean, we're still guilty of that today. I don't know that it's very difficult, actually, to eliminate all of that, especially if you're traveling. You try to find something, you know, that is more healthy. But if you're traveling and it's 11 o'clock at night, where are you going? So you try, you know, if you do go to get a burger, then you try to eat it as healthy as you can. You don't have the bun or, you know, you don't have the sauces or whatever you can change that. But yeah, most people aren't thinking about that. And when you are thinking about it, it does change a lot because it's very difficult to do.
Do you think this is because in this country, we have the mentality to basically live to work, where as opposed to any other country where they get like 30 days, you know, paid vacation, here you're lucky if you get 2 weeks paid vacation. And so you're constantly always working, working, working. And I know when I was growing up and I lived in Germany, and you could see there wasn't a lot of fast food places over there. Like if you went out to eat, you went out to a restaurant. Otherwise, people were making food at home. And now the last time we went over to Europe, I noticed at least a lot of American fast food restaurants that had come over into some of these big cities that was not there when I was there before.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing to see those. You've got this historic city and you're seeing a Burger King.
Or a KFC.
Yeah.
Or Taco Bell.
Or right. It was like, seriously? Wow. Yeah, it is. No, and it's probably, I mean, it's just what we're accustomed to. And because it's convenient, then, and you have two people, you know, you have both parents are working, or you're a single parent and you're working. When I was growing up and my mom and dad were married, my mom did all the cooking. And cooked a lot. Every meal, we had a meat, a potato, a bread, we had it all. And even after my parents divorced, my mom still cooked as often as she possibly could with her schedule. And to this day, she still cooks. And that's what brings this family, our family together. We always are making meals. I make meals all the time. I get that from my mom. My daughter cooks. But I see other people, like even my daughter's friends, some of them, they don't cook. It just baffles me.
Yeah, that younger generation, we've definitely seen it with nephews or our kids. But I think it's just that generation, because rather than even just taking the time to learn how to cook, they just rather order like DoorDash or
yeah, it's convenient.
And that's, I mean, I can't imagine paying that much money. I'd rather just make my food.
Yep, me too. I've never been one for bringing food home just because I like to eat fresh food. I like it nice and hot. I don't like it sitting in styrofoam and then eating it soggy or whatever the case may be. I've just never been one to do that. So I've never ordered something like that. And I couldn't imagine paying the price that they charge. But there again, it's convenient.
Right. And I mean, even our nephew, like he wanted to eat healthier, but he wasn't making the food. He was having his mom make the food for him. They were doing the meal prep.
Right.
And his mom...
He was paying his mom to do it.
Right. So there again, he couldn't be burdened with doing it. It's not hard to do. He found the recipes.
Right. But he gave her the recipes and then she made it for him. Right. Gave her extra money. But yeah, there again.
What's going to happen if you don't have somebody to make that food for you?
Yep. You're going to pay for it the rest of your life.
You're going to starve.
Well, or you're going to pay for it. You better have the money to have somebody cooking for you.
Right.
I just couldn't imagine that. I enjoy cooking.
Well, we grew up in that generation, too. I remember my mom used to make food all the time, too. And I used to go in. I was curious about it. So I used to go in and watch her make the food and learn how to make the food.
Yep.
And to this day, I still make food.
Right.
So I think our generation, we've learned about that. Like I said, it's kind of a rarity. But I mean, I'm not saying that nobody out there in the younger generation cooks their own food, but it's just more rare.
It is more rare. And I think some of that is in part from like when we were growing up, you know, we might have played one sport, maybe two, but we weren't playing sports, doing dance, doing gymnastics, doing this, doing that. There's no time for kids to learn how to cook from their parents. So if you're doing all of that, there's just no time. And if you don't have grandparents that are going and teaching you when you're staying at your grandparents, then how are these kids supposed to learn? Because I tell you what, I'm sure most of them are not taking home ec. And most everybody in my generation was taking home ec.
Is there even home ec in schools nowadays?
I don't even know. I took home ec. I took wood shop. You know, all those little things that give you some kind of insight. They teach you how to read a tape measure or, you know, different things like that, that they just don't teach that in school anymore.
It's kind of sad because in all reality, if this is the way we're progressing, a lot of generational recipes are going to be lost.
Yeah.
If kids don't keep learning how to make them and passing them down.
Right. Yeah. We definitely need to change this country and reverse back to home cooked meals.
For all of those people struggling with eating healthy here in the U.S., you are not alone and it is not your fault. As we uncovered, there is a lot of confusing and often conflicting information about food being given to us. Food itself has changed, and not in a good way. At least not for the consumer. We may be eating the same products we did as kids, but it's a different food altogether. Labels can be misleading and tricky. They are designed to sell products more than they are to inform consumers. And finally, the culture here in the U.S. rewards convenience, and it's not set up for healthy eating. So next time we'll strip it back. What whole foods really mean, simple swaps anyone can do, and how to make it work on busy days. Well, that's a wrap on another episode. We hope you enjoyed this discussion and found some value in it. We'd love to hear what your thoughts on today's topic are. So drop us a comment and let us know. And if you enjoy our conversation, consider subscribing to the podcast on whatever platform you listen on. From both of us here at Current Thoughts, thank you for listening. We'll be back soon with another honest conversation. Till then, stay curious, stay open, and stay real.